It's City Desk, news and views from Biloxi City Hall. And now the host of our program, City Desk, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Here's Mr. Creel.
Hello, William Sackett. Welcome into another edition of the City Desk podcast. We are recording this program at 10:43 in the morning on Thursday, September 1st, the first day of a new month. Today, we are going to be discussing the technology summit that the City of Biloxi held on Wednesday. We're going to be talking about the work we're doing on Highway 90 right now. There's a kickball tournament coming up at Hiller Park. We're going to talk about the status of some changes Mayor Gillich wants to make here at City Hall, what he calls shifting gears. And we're going to just get an overall status. Here to discuss these issues with us is the city's Chief of Civic Innovation and Economic Development, Mr. F. Cliff Kirkland. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning. How are you gentlemen today?
So far, so good. How are you, Mr. Sackett?
I'm fine. I opened up with a cup of coffee and scrambled eggs, so yeah, I'm in good shape.
Excellent. That's at the cafe here at City Hall, right?
That's right, on the fifth floor.
It's called McDonald's. Cliff, you had a pretty big event yesterday over at the Biloxi Civic Center, and it kind of dovetailed into an initiative that Mayor Gillich said even before he was elected, and that is to bring innovation and a high-tech approach to city government and economic development.
Absolutely. We're just trying to keep up with our mayor, trying not to get blown away by the tidal wave that he is. Actually, the summit was the second summit we've had within about a two-month period here. And they're very much related. We had the STEM summit here at City Hall, which was a tremendous event, provided a lot of information and opportunities for the city to move forward in stimulating some more science and math interests among our younger citizens going forward. So we moved into the Tech Summit this week, and it's a result, again, of some of this work the mayor has required of us and expected some results from. The purpose of the meeting here Wednesday was to discuss the opportunity for locating a manufacturing facility here in Biloxi for two high-tech businesses.
And I understand, and whenever we talk about STEM, y'all had a lot of education leaders here, and the purpose of that was science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, and the importance of those subjects in our classroom and how they can translate into economic development. So the second summit that you had, which we billed as the inaugural Biloxi Technology Summit, you were quite successful in bringing together a host of businesses, and I guess it was to explain to them what the importance of this 60,000 square foot manufacturing plant would be here?
Well, the meeting again explained to our local businesses, our industry leaders, our government leaders that were present. I think we had 35 people here yesterday. It was an invitation only. The potential benefits and opportunities from these two high-tech businesses for Biloxi and for the coast and for the state. We're talking about two businesses that produce products and services that have far-reaching implications well beyond our borders, well beyond those of our nation internationally, and have already attracted interest internationally. We would like to, of course, have these type of businesses here. They provide much higher-paying jobs. The fact that we could hopefully have a 60,000-square-foot manufacturing facility in and of itself is great. But the obvious trade-off of that is it will attract other high-tech business, more opportunities for our citizens. We have a great workforce here now that could provide the employees for these type of businesses. We have one of the nation's most tremendous technical training facilities at Keesler Air Force. We have Ingalls Shipbuilding. We have Airbus over in Mobile. We have a tremendous amount of engineering-type talent available here. Again, the STEM can help provide that in the future. We also have the University of Southern Mississippi Polymer Science Department, which would logically provide a lot of employees for these operations. So we had a great conference. The results were, I think, what the mayor expected. We stimulated a lot of interest. We created a lot of buzz. and we'll follow up with a meeting in Houston later this month.
We generally don't talk about our economic development initiatives, but y'all felt that this was pretty important to begin this broad discussion, which kind of dovetails with the same thing the mayor's done on this broadband initiative.
It's all related. It's all high tech. It's all innovation. It's taking our city and our coast to another level. It's bringing us up to where we can compete with other areas of the country that we're unable to compete with now. We do have some movement on the broadband. We'll be announcing something soon there, something significant. But it's all related again, back to the STEM, to the Technology Summit yesterday. But the mayor's initiative has led us to uncover the possibility of locating two high-tech businesses here that open up doors to us internationally, open up doors we can't even imagine yet. So that in itself is significant. But we still have a lot of work to do to get this done. We have to bring a lot of people together, a lot of interest together, and obviously a lot of money together to finance this.
The mayor's making a few changes here. He's going to be proposing them Tuesday to the city council. One of them would be, and what he keeps telling me is, and he's reiterated it more than once, I was going to say, to keep reminding me that Gerald Blessy is not who announced his resignation the other day as city attorney, effective September 31st, I believe, which is the 30th at the end of the fiscal year. But Gerald is going to be, the mayor's proposing to have him replaced by Peter Abide of the firm Curry Johnson. And Gerald is not going to be here at City Hall on a daily basis, but is going to be stepping aside he will be an outside counsel for the city, focusing on economic development. And really, there's a host of issues that Gerald will be focusing on, legislation, et cetera. And Peter Abide, it should be a familiar face.
Peter is a great attorney who's done a tremendous job for us this past year. We've had him dive right into the North contract issues, as we all know, are significant. He's done a great job there,
but
he's also done a tremendous job on some other things we brought to his desk under his agreement as an outside counsel. Let me say, Gerald certainly deserves a break. He's done so much for our city for so long. He's been a leader for decades. He deserves a break, but sorry, Gerald, you're not getting off that easy. The mayor is insistent that Gerald stay involved in this. We need his counsel, his insight, his experience. He's certainly going to stay involved in economic development, and as you pointed out, he's going to stay involved in legislative issues, of which we have many that we'll again bring to the legislature next year, just as we did this past year. We didn't get everything we want. We never do, but we opened the door for some opportunities, and we're going to try and get through that door this year, and Gerald's going to be chief to and a key to that happening.
I guess it's a delicate balance that y'all have to strike as far as being assertive in what the needs for Biloxi are, but at the same time be aware of or sensitive to our neighboring communities.
Well, the mayor has made it clear from the outset that he wants to be part of an overall effort. He, as you know, he's invited the other mayors, our boards of supervisors, our other county leaders to different meetings here at City Hall throughout the past year. They've been very successful in building a consensus, and we're doing that with the broadband issue. We're doing that with BP economic damages money. In fact, we have a meeting coming up in a week or a little over a week to discuss that issue again with all our intergovernmental partners, our other mayors, our other counties, the three counties down here. These are all critical things that the mayor believes we all have to be involved in. We believe Biloxi, if we're all working together, we'll get its share. And that's all we ever ask, both of our local government and our state government. All we want is our share. We produce a lot for this state. We can produce a lot more if we've given the opportunity and support we need for that.
Let's talk briefly, Chief Administrative Officer. The mayor had proposed Paul Tisdale, and to be honest, it just doesn't seem that the votes are there on the city council. So I'm sure he has a plan B and is probably going to be moving forward with that at some point.
Well, I don't know yet that Paul's nomination is dead. I know the mayor's still discussing it with the council. I'm certainly disappointed as a city employee that someone of Paul's caliber and talents and abilities and experience isn't going to be able or may not be able to join us. I think the city would benefit from his administrative abilities in that position. But certainly these nominations require council approval. If that doesn't occur, the mayor definitely has a plan in place, and he'll go to that and announce it at the appropriate time.
I agree with everything you said. Kickball, man. Let's talk about kickball. You too, Sackett. One of the things that's going to be happening out at Hiller Park, it's not till next month, but they are looking, well, I think it's later this month, but they are looking for teams now. Are you a big kickball player? I know Cliff was a Major League Baseball player at USM and with the Biloxi Dodgers, but kickball.
It's an emotional moment for Kick. Give him a minute. He wants to think about that, reflect on that. But anyway, boys and girls and moms and dads of all ages, they're now registering. The city of Biloxi is the annual Hiller Park Revitalization Kickball Tournament. Let me get to the facts if I can. The tournament will take place on Saturday, October 1, at the Barber Ferrell Softball Fields. That's located at 1940 Edgar's Road. Two games are going to be played by each team. Teams are made up of 9 to 13 players, ages 14 and older, and each must include at least 3 female players. All this and all the information, of course, is located on their website, biloxi.ms.us. Some of the fun things is going to be a $200 and a trophy will be awarded to the first place team, and the second and third place team will also receive a trophy. The fee is $100 per team, and the registration is weekdays from 7:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Hiller Park office. You know where that is, 380 Hiller Drive. Registration now ends Monday, September 26.
Thank you, William Sackett. Every bit of that, if people want to hit the rewind button, they can go back, or it's on our city website with a beautiful flyer. But remember, we're looking to get those teams, and the money from those registration fees and any concessions goes to the Hiller Park revitalization effort. We want to remind people who are driving on Highway 90, we have more than one group out there. We've got Parks and Recreation, and we also have the Public Works Department. They are cleaning up the sand that has gathered in the turning lanes and in the center left-hand turning lanes and right-hand turning lanes. They are edging the medians. The mayor brings it down to three words: safe, beautiful, friendly. That's what he wants this city to be. Remember that, SBF, safe, beautiful, friendly, and that's a big part of it. Another big part, turning back to our chief of civic innovation, another big part of it is having the money to do these things. And I know the mayor, as part of this coastwide effort, has been working on the what could happen with the BP economic development money. And you had to be gratified to see Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves down here asking for suggestions. Do you think there are any suggestions that are going to be coming forward?
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of suggestions coming forward. I'd hate to be the lieutenant governor and have to accept what's going to be suggested. But the legislature has a difficult problem. Let's face it. Both the Speaker of the House and the lieutenant governor and the governor, they represent the entire state. We're down here fighting for ourselves. Every other part of the state's doing the same thing. But let's remember, the BP oil spill happened down here. It didn't happen north of the coast. It most affected the coast. The effects on the state were actually nothing more than the loss of tax dollars that lost business here on the coast would have sent them. So if we're returned to a vigorous and robust economy that we had prior to the oil spill, that's going to translate to those tax dollars flowing back to the state, which then go to other areas of the state. What we're working on is a proposal for legislation at the next legislative session in January that would dedicate the remaining proceeds of the $750 million in BP economic damages money would be dedicated again to the three coast counties. The counties themselves would determine what projects that are proposed would be the ones that best fit the profile for economic development, for benefit to the coast and to the state. This way, it's taken out of the hands of politicians who have to answer to other constituencies. This money would be provided to the coast going forward. Again, this money comes over a 15 to 17 year period, And I think each one of the entities down here, our 12 cities, our three counties, are hopeful that they could get some kind of guarantee of X amount over a certain period of time that they can use to leverage some of the projects they have in mind. We have a meeting coming up September 12th in which we'll discuss the mayor's proposal. We were asked to put one together at the last intergovernmental meeting a couple of months ago. Gerald Blessy, of course, has led that effort, and Gerald and I have worked very closely with the mayor on drafting some proposed legislation. We've shared our draft with the other governments, and we'll meet on the 12th to discuss how we want to go forward.
And you're going to be seeing something on the city council agenda. Has not been announced yet. It'll be announced on Friday, September 2nd, but it will be out there on the city council agenda, along with the mayor's proposal for a city attorney and having Gerald Blessy continue as an outside counsel on economic development issues. Speaking of the economic development, recovery, et cetera, you've just got to be proud of the job that our fire department, retired firefighters, and under the umbrella of the West End Hose Company, the city's fire museum, and the police department. They showed some independence.
They went to Independence, Louisiana, a small community, I think, of about 2,000 people. Of course, there's a wide area in Louisiana that was damaged significantly by the recent floods, and these men and some women and some family members, not just our employees and our first responders from our fire and police departments, but some of their family members and friends also volunteered. They went over there. The first day there, they cooked for more than 1,100 people. They cooked up everything that was donated. They spent a lot of time getting donations. Our coast responded. Our city responded well to provide some food and some clothing to bring over there. And then they spent the rest of the time over there getting in and tearing out damaged housing and enabling some of the people to move forward. And certainly some of that is first responders' properties over there, but also citizens. And we are proud of them, and they deserve some pats on the back for what they've done. They're returning the favors that we received after Katrina. And I should point out, as you well know, Vincent, this has been going on every year since Katrina. Every time a disaster hits, our people go out around the country and return in kind what we received after Katrina.
If you want to see how you can be a part of that effort right now, you can go to the city's website, and the West End Hose Company number 3 has a GoFundMe account. You can do it from the security of your telephone, your cell phone, or the security of your desktop. You can make a monetary donation, and you can know that that money will be helping those people in need. That way they'll be ready to go. They were in Independence, as you said. You can see pictures on the city's website. They were honored by the city council and the mayor of Independence. They also went to Zachary and they went to Baton Rouge. When all is said and done, they're going to be doing a dozen houses. They will have gutted a dozen houses and just left a spirit of encouragement and goodwill. Somebody mentioned on our Facebook page, Cliff, that this BP episode and this economic development money and others wanting to grab some of that money, that would be akin to our firefighters going over to Independence and saying, hey, can we have some of the money y'all are going to get from the federal government because of these floods we needed in Biloxi? That is pretty strong.
Well, it's certainly a fair analogy. Again, we feel that the money should be returned to the areas that were most affected. The governor has said that. The lieutenant governor has said that. I don't see what the problem is. But then again, I do see what the problem is. It's legislators representing residents of our state, many more of whom live north of us than here, and they're under the gun, too, to find ways to help their communities. But what's fair is fair. Let's move forward logically.
I think you're right. Is there anything else we needed to discuss? You have to want to thank all those leading businesses that showed up at the summit.
It was great having people like Keesler and Ingalls, Mississippi Power. There was a lot of discussion after the summit, as we expected, about how to move forward together. So there's a resolve now, and we're anxious to see where it leads us.
Okay. Thank you, Cliff, for everything. As we're closing down our show, we are going to recognize our city public affairs specialists who have joined us to say hello and goodbye. Ms. Cecilia Dobbs-Walton.
And how was your flight on the balloon to get here?
Oh, it took a little while. That's why I'm late, but I'm glad I'm here.
Thank you, Cecilia, for your contributions to this week's program. William, that you got anything else?
Well, I can give, as I usually do, a little weekend update. We do have this Friday, September the 2nd, which is tomorrow, from 6 to 8, I believe, at the Biloxian Auditorium is the back-to-school swimming pool party. It's at the Biloxian Auditorium, again, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's open to the public. It's just a little celebration that the department does every year for the new school season. So for any information on that, go to our website. Plus, one more thing you'll notice on our website that we have, especially on the Parks and Recs page, that right now the department is taking registration for its annual kickball tournament that's going to be held at Hiller Park.
Thank you very much. She had a good reminder on that kickball tournament. William, we dodged a bullet, so to speak, this week with what ended up becoming Tropical Storm Hermine. We certainly have the people of Florida, the Florida Gulf Coast, in our thoughts and prayers, but this is another reminder for our local residents to always be prepared, have a plan, know what you want to do, and this all occurred on the same week that we had the 11th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. So with that, I will wrap up this week's show, and I will ask you to bring us home.
Have a very safe holiday as you travel this holiday weekend. And be well, be aware, and we will see you next week. You've been listening to City Desk, Public Affairs Manager for Biloxi. Vincent Creel is your host, and it's news and views always from City Hall. This is William Sackett speaking.